Well, good morning, everybody. We have been, starting last week, we began a new series called You Are Known. We've been working through Psalm 139, and we're going to spend the next several weeks working through this amazing truth, this amazing passage of Scripture. And I'm so thankful that you've joined us here today. I believe that the Lord has a word for you and me today. And so I just want to start by praying and asking God to just open up our hearts to receive the truth that He has for us. Can we do that together? Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for your presence in this place, for your Spirit here. Lord, we know, we recognize together that we need you. And Lord, what we want for you to open our hearts, to reveal to us those places where we need a touch from you. And so would you just help us to listen, help us to hear from you, help us to be open to receiving from you, God, your truth. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So yeah, last week we started out in Psalm 39. We looked at the first few verses of Psalm 139. We talked about how God searches us out, and that word searching is to look for something at great expense or sacrifice to yourself. We talked about how God knows us completely. He knows everything about us, and He still loves us. And then we talked about how God is relentless, how God chases us, pursues us. And so we're going to pick up there kind of with that truth this morning as we kind of dig into this morning. I'll tell you what's a fascinating experience to me is being in an airport. There's been a few times in my life where I've been in an airport, like I've been in DFW Airport, which is full of like thousands of people in DFW Airport. But when you're in an airport, it's crazy because you'll be walking around the airport surrounded by thousands of people, but you still can feel like completely alone. Like you can spend 2 hours in an airport and not speak to a single person. Anybody else have that experience? And I think sometimes in our life, that kind of happens in our life. We can feel as if we're surrounded by people. We're walking through our lives, but we're not really engaging or interacting with anyone else. We can kind of feel on the outside looking in. And when I was thinking about how to talk about this morning, I thought of a song that illustrates this in my mind more perfectly than anything else I could come up with. And so I wanted to just play a little bit of it for you. It's from a musical called Dear Evan Hansen. If you went to see that, it was at the Buddy Holly not too long ago. My family went to see it without me, but I'm not bitter at all. So the musical starts off with this song. So, I've learned to slam on the brakes before I even turn the key. Before I make a mistake, before I lead with the worst of me, step out of the sun if you don't get burned. Step out of the sun because you've learned. On the outside, always looking in, will I ever be more than I've ever been? Cause I'm tapping on the glass, waving through a window. I wanna speak, but nobody can hear. So I wait around for an answer to appear. And I'm watching people pass. I'm waving through a window. Can anybody see? Is anybody waving back at me? Is anybody waving? Oh. So
I sing that song because I think it sums up so perfectly that experience that we often have of feeling like we're on the outside, feeling like we're looking at people who are living their lives, who amazing things are happening for them, or they seem happy or together or whatever else, but we feel like we're not really connecting with anybody, that we're still kind of isolated and alone. And I know that there's somebody here this morning, and that's how you feel about where you are in your life right now. You feel kind of on the outside looking in. And I want to say also that it's easy to feel that way. A person can feel that way even in church. Maybe even especially in church. Have you ever had that experience where you're walking in and out of church and it feels like there's all these other people and they seem like they've got it together, or they seem like they're doing well, or they seem like they're having this experience with the Lord, but you just don't have that. You're not experiencing that. You don't feel that. Anybody ever went through that, been through that? And so it's easy to feel like I'm not connected to anyone. I'm alone. It's easy to feel that way. But the psalmist has some truth for us this morning, and I want us to look at it in Psalm 139, beginning with verse 7. Okay, this is what the psalmist writes. Listen to these words. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. And so you may feel alone, you may feel isolated, you may feel like nobody gets you this morning, but here's the truth. The truth is that God's presence is inescapable. Most translations phrase this passage as parallel questions like, where can I go from your spirit, right? Where can I go to escape your presence? And the inferred answer to all those questions is nowhere, right? There's no place I can go. And so that's what this passage is saying, and it introduces it right here. And then the next few passages that we're going to look at goes on to describe how there's nowhere, literally, we can go where we can escape the presence of Almighty God. And there are some really fancy theological words that experts use when they talk about this passage. The section that we talked about last week reveals God's omniscience, which is simply a word that means all-knowing. It means knowing everything. And that's what we talked about last week. God knows every part of us. He knows everything about everything. He's all-knowing. But this week, we're going to talk about God's omnipresence, which means that God's presence is literally everywhere. And for us, that doesn't seem like that much of a big deal, right? Because we've been raised in a culture that believed this about God, that understood this to be true about God. But in the ancient world, this was a crazy thing that the psalmist was declaring. It's a scandalous thing that the psalmist is talking about here, because gods in the ancient world were generally pretty anthropomorphic. Okay, that's another fancy word that just means human-like, okay? And so what the ancient world had is they had these deities that were super powerful, that were way more powerful than humans and were eternal and all those other things, but they generally acted like you and me. They had the same kind of jealousies that we might have. They had the same kind of experiences that you might have, and they certainly weren't omniscient, and they certainly weren't omnipresent. And so the fact that the psalmist is describing it this way, it's a really, really big deal. And Paul, actually, when he's preaching in Athens to the Greeks, he actually talks about it too. And here's how he says it in Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 27. I want you to pay attention to these words. So Paul is preaching in Athens, the center of philosophy and knowledge at his time in his world. And here's what he says. He's talking about God in verse 27. He says, his purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him, though he is not far from any one of us. And listen to this, for in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. And so what that means for you and I is at the same time terrifying and reassuring. What that means for you and I, what all this means for us, is that God is with us. His presence is literally with us at all times. Okay, so I want you to do me a favor. I want you to think about the worst thing that you did this week. The worst thing, the most embarrassing thing, the most shameful thing. Think about the worst thing that you did this week. You got it? Okay. Now, I want you to imagine that as you were doing it, the Lord of Heaven's armies was sitting in front of you, looking into your eyes as you did it. That's a pretty uncomfortable thought. I don't know about you, but super convicting for me. And friends, that's why sin is such an affront to God. It's literally like we are throwing our actions, our desires, it's literally like we're throwing that into God's face. It's literally like we're going to, well, I know that you see me. I know that you're looking. I know that you're watching me. I don't care. That's literally like what we're doing. And so I want you to understand that's why it's such a big deal. But that's not what this passage is about. The good news in this passage is that wherever we find ourselves this morning, no matter what terrible or shameful thing we have done, and some of you, when you thought about the worst thing you did this week, it was pretty bad, right? It was pretty dark. But no matter what it is we've done, no matter where it is we find ourselves this morning, the truth that this scripture reveals is that God is with us. We are not separated from God or from God's mercy, even in the midst of our deepest, darkest failure. God is inescapable. His presence is inescapable. And the psalmist goes on to describe it. Look at verse 8. Look at what he says in verse 8. He says, if I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest ocean, even there your hand will guide me. Your strength will support me. Whoa. The second truth that we see in this passage, right? God's presence is inescapable. But here's what that literally means, what it actually means for you and I. We can't run from God. We can't run away from Him. When I was a sophomore in high school, I was at a school event, and my mom was there, and the rest of my family were there, and my mom didn't particularly appreciate the way that I was acting at this school event, and spoiler alert, it involved a young lady at the same time, who she just didn't appreciate the way that we were interacting with one another at the school event. And so as we're walking out, my mom decided that she was just going to give me an earful of what she thought about how I was acting and what was going on. And she did, man. She let me have it. She opened up both barrels. Parents, you know exactly what I'm talking about when that happens, you know. And I responded in typical teenager fashion. I responded by telling my mom that she could step back. You know, I didn't need her telling me what I could and couldn't do and what I should and shouldn't be doing. You know what I mean? Don't be calling me names. Don't be telling me that I, you know what I mean? You know how we do. You know how us young people do. And I got really mad. But my mom got even madder, right? Because I ratcheted up the whole thing. You know what I mean? And so it turned into a throwdown right on the sidewalk, going into the parking lot, and my mom and I are going at it, and she really deeply hurt my feelings. I was super angry, you know, and so I just took off running. I just took off running. I ran all the way like a half mile away to the football stadium, and I hid in a bathroom there. And my mom came looking for me, and she couldn't find me. Where I could hear her yell, Brad, where are you? I didn't want to talk to her, hid in the bathroom. And then when she finally left, I just went roaming around town. I was gone for, I don't even know how long. Finally, I'm walking by the side of the road, and I had a stick in my hand, and I was like knocking the grass over. And I don't really know where I was going. I don't know where I planned to go at the end of all this, but I was walking along, and a police officer pulled up, because by this time, my mom had called in the cavalry. You know what's happened when your kid's missing? Like, it's on like Donkey Kong when your kid is missing. And so the police officer pulled up and asked me who I was. I was wondering, why are you being so weird right now? And then I realized I was holding a stick in my hand, and so that's why he had his hand on his gun and everything else. But eventually he put me back in the car, took me back to my parents, and we were able to work through all of that. But that moment, right, whenever my mom said something that really hurt my feelings, and I was angry, and I was frustrated, and I was upset, so I just took off running. I didn't even know where I was going, what I was doing. I just wanted to be away from her, right? I wanted to be away from her, and so I ran as fast as I could in whatever direction was there at the moment. And the reality is that's where some of us on the live stream, that's where some of us who are gathered here in this place, that's where we are with God. We're angry, we're frustrated, we're disappointed at where our life has ended up right now. We're hurt, we're wounded. And so what we've done is we've just started running. We just started running, and we don't even care where we're going. We're just trying to get away. Away. That's the only thing that we know about where we're going. And so there's some people here this morning, right now, you're running from God as far and as fast as you can. You're running from Him. And in fact, there's people watching the live stream, you're running from God. Last night, you were engaged in behavior that was like, I got to get as far away from that as I possibly can. And I'm not even sure what direction you're going, but you are running away. Here's the truth. It didn't work. You didn't run away from God. You can run as fast and as far as you want. You cannot run away from Him or away from His presence. All of our running, all of our efforts to get away, it doesn't help. It doesn't achieve what we want it to achieve. And that's good news for you and I this morning. He is there. God is with us, the psalmist tells us. He's with us when we feel like we're soaring through the heavens, when everything's amazing and life is going perfect. He's with us when we feel like we are in hell, when we have made our bed in hell. He is there with us even then. And here's another truth. All of that truth that God is with us wherever we go, no matter where we end up, that truth is really good news for you and I. Listen to this. The psalmist even goes a step further. He says that God's hand guides us. His strength supports us. God's hand guides me. God's strength supports me even when I feel like I'm alone, even when I am trying to outrun Him or His mercy. The only reason I even have strength to run in the first place is because God has given it to me. I haven't tricked Him. I haven't deceived Him. I haven't gotten away from Him. What felt like to me was an act of rebellion, an assertion of my own will, was actually not a surprise to God at all. His guiding hand never left me. Think about this. I want you to imagine that you're a child. I want like a 5 or 6-year-old child, and you're walking hand in hand with your mom, okay? You're walking hand in hand with your mom, and suddenly you want something, and your mom says, no, you can't have that, and you get super mad, and so you did what I did, right? You just took off running. You just bailed, and you just went off running because you were so mad, because you were so frustrated, you're so angry, and you run and run and run and run as fast as you can until you finally start to get tired, and you start to have trouble catching your breath, and so you stop because you need the rest, and when you do, you look around, and you find yourself in a really rough part of town, right? You're all alone in this really rough, kind of dark part of town, and everybody's kind of giving you the side eye, and you're wandering around through alleyways and on streets, and there's some dangerous people around every corner. And suddenly, when you come to your senses a little bit, you're afraid because where you found yourself is really dangerous. And right in that moment where you realize, oh my gosh, I'm in a lot of trouble. I'm in danger. I don't know where I am. I don't know how to get back. This is scary, right? Right in that moment, you feel a hand slip into yours. And you look up, and there's your mom standing right there. You realize she's been with you the entire time. She ran right along with you the entire way. And when you look up at her face, you can see this fierce determination, like, none of these people better mess with my kid, right? I'm about to get you up out of here. And you realize everything's going to be okay. That's what the psalmist is describing, friends. For those of you this morning that have discovered yourself in a really dark and in a really dangerous place, you've run to the end of your strength and your endurance, to the end of your rope. For those of you who find yourself there this morning, Almighty God has never left you. Right now, can you feel His hand closing on yours? Can you hear Him reassuring you? I've got you. I'm right here. That's the truth. That's the truth about who God is. And that's the truth about where we are this morning. And then, in verse 11, the psalmist writes, I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. That musical, Dear Evan Hansen, that musical is about suicide. That's a major part of the plot line. Did you know that for people aged 10 to 24, that suicide is the second leading cause of death? Did you know that? I can't really imagine the darkness of that place, right? That place you find yourself where it feels like self-harm is the only way out. I can't imagine the darkness of that place that would make a person feel like that death is actually release. I don't know how that feels. Really dark, right? Really lonely. But somebody in this room this morning, that's where you are. Somebody watching, that's where you are. And I want to say to you, I'm so sorry. And if you'd allow me, I want to share some truth with you this morning, because when we find ourselves in the darkness, we can believe all kinds of lies. Anybody, as a child, right, you know what it's like to be in your room in the middle of the night with all the lights off, right? And you're looking around your room and you're seeing all kinds of crazy things, right? You're seeing the figure of the thin man standing in the corner of your room. He's not there, okay? But your eyes think that he's there because it's dark. The darkness can play tricks on us. The darkness can lie to us. And if you'd let me, I'd like to share some truth with you for those of you who are in the deep dark this morning. Here's the truth. Listen. There is no darkness that is able to hide us from God. Sometimes, when we are at that darkest place, when we are at the end of whatever that road is, right? Sometimes we feel like no one can see us. No one knows. No one can identify with the hurt that we are experiencing. No one knows the heartache. No one can identify with us. Friends, not true. Darkness isn't even dark to the Lord God. He sees you as clearly as if it were noon. And not only that, we serve a God who knows exactly how it feels to be in the deep darkness. Scripture tells us that Jesus, on the night before he was crucified, threw himself down to pray, and he was so crushed with grief. He's told his disciples, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. I'm so sad right now. I don't feel like I can even live anymore." God knows exactly what it feels like to be in a place where you're so broken, so wounded, so hurting that you don't think there's any hope outside of any way forward, any hope outside of death. Jesus knows exactly what that feels like. The truth is, you are not alone. You are absolutely known. Even in that dark moment, God sees you. Even if you feel like no one else does, there is no darkness that can hide you from God. Here's another truth. Darkness can't envelop us. I tried to think of a word that would describe what I was going for. What I'm looking for here is that sometimes you and I know grief, sorrow, hurt, darkness, right? Sin, shame, darkness. Sometimes it can feel like we have been tossed into a river of hurt and heartache, right? And it feels like that we're just being swept away in that river and we're going under and the water is rushing into our nose, into our mouth, into our lungs, and we feel like we're suffocating, choking on sin and shame and hurt and brokenness and darkness. And someone here feels like that today. But what I want you to know is darkness is incapable of doing that. Darkness can't envelop us. We are not, friends, we are not enveloped by darkness. We are enveloped by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is what is all around us. The Spirit of God is what is flowing in and out of our lungs. The Spirit of God is what's coursing through our veins. Darkness cannot, darkness has not enveloped you. God's Holy Spirit is doing that. And even in this moment, friends, listen, hear me. Even in this moment where it feels like you are going under, you are not lost to the Lord God. He loves you. He sees you. And he wants to heal you. And that is the truth. So listen, we have to respond to this word from the Lord, don't we? If you're here this morning and you are discouraged and you are hurting and you are broken, you are not alone. Did you know that you are in a room full of people who feel that way, who have felt that way, who have been through that? And so you just need to know, you don't need to feel ashamed of hurt or brokenness or sorrow that's going on in your life. We have all been there, friends, all of us. And this is a safe place for you to be able to say, I'm not doing very good today. If that's where you are, man, I just want to say, we came here this morning for you. We have a group of folks here this morning who they're here because they want to pray for you. They want to lay hands on you and pray for you. And if you head right over to that door as soon as our worship team begins playing and says, how can I pray for you? That door right over there. You can head right over there. One of our prayer team folks are going to grab you. They're going to take you out into the hall and talk to you and pray for you. But you don't have to walk out of this place this morning carrying around the burden that you're carrying. You can lay it down before the Lord God Almighty this morning. And there are others of us, and maybe we were listening to all of this truth this morning, and maybe that's not where we find ourselves this morning. Maybe we've been there in the past, but that's not where we are this morning. But we know someone, and that's where they are. So what our responsibility this morning, what our responsibility is we are to bring them before the throne of God Almighty. We're going to ask God this morning, God, would you break into their darkness with your glorious light, and would you use me to do it, if it's your will? But we're not just going to talk about these things in the abstract. We want to allow the Lord to make us agents of his healing and of his light and of his hope. Who wants to be that today? So I'm going to ask our worship team to come up here, and I'm going to pray for us. But listen, as we sing over the course of the next few minutes, as we sing, please, please allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Allow him to give you comfort, and allow the body of Christ to be a place of hope and healing for you this morning. Would you do that? Would you have the courage to just step out and admit, I'm not okay and I need help? Would you do that this morning? Let me pray for us. Father, we acknowledge today that in this room there are all kinds of hurts and heartaches. There are all kinds of wounds. There's all kinds of pain and shame. There's all kinds of darkness. But God, we confess together that we believe your word promises us where two or more are gathered, that your presence is there among us. And so we know that even though we may feel hurting, even though we may feel broken, even though we may feel like darkness is seeping into us, God, we know that your presence is here. And darkness and evil and shame and heartache, those things, God, those things have to run before the power and the glory of your name. And we need you, God. We need you this morning. Would you step into our reality? Would you step into our hurt and to our heartache with your healing? We surrender to you, God. We surrender to you right now. And step number one may be just us being able to humble ourselves and admit that we need help. Would you help us to do that this morning? Give us the courage. Give us the strength to admit that. And right now, you're putting in a lot of our minds this morning, you're putting in our hearts and in our minds a person who is really struggling this morning. They're in our hearts right now. We can see their faces. And God, right now, what we want to do, we want to get on our knees before you. We want to get on our face before you. We want to cry out to you, God, on their behalf. Because we know that you're faithful. We know that you hear us when we do that. And so we're going to spend these next few moments, bringing our loved ones before you, Lord God. Speak. Speak to us. Speak to them. It's in Jesus' name we pray.